Glory to God. We've just been talking for a few weeks about that you can have what you say. That you can have what you say. Let's turn over to Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, 22. Glory to God. Did you guys come expecting tonight?
Yep.
You didn't come out on a Wednesday night just to come, probably. In this day and age, that's not that common. So we get what we expect. Amen. Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now this was after they had passed this fig tree, and Jesus had come up to the fig tree, and it had leaves, so he expected it to have fruit. It didn't, and he cursed it, and then it withered, and the disciples have come back by the fig tree, and they're saying, verse 21, Peter says, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And then verse 22, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.'" Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." I'm going to read verse 23 again. It says, "For assuredly I say to you," Jesus said, "for assuredly I say to you, whoever, say whoever.
Whoever.
Are you a whoever? Whoever is whoever. That's not a special person. And this is Jesus talking. He said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Thank the Lord. Let's hold your finger there and go to Romans. I know in the past we've covered on different things that we've covered on Wednesday nights. We've covered these two verses and then moved on. But on Wednesday nights, when we started Wednesday nights 4 years ago, I believe the Lord directed us to speak on faith and healing on Wednesday nights. And I feel like there's something different. Until he tells us different, that's what we'll stay on. But faith and healing on Wednesday nights, and that's what we've continued on, and we've spoken about different things related to those subjects. But Romans 10, verse 8, it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And notice that again in verse 8, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. This is telling us how to get saved. Right here. In verse 9, he says that if you confess confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So it's telling us how to get saved. You believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth. And it says confession is made unto salvation. And then hold your place there. Let's hold your place there and go back to Mark. We'll just look at it in your Bible. You can look at it on the sheet. But verse 23 says, Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever. Glory to God. There's a lot here. You guys are believing with me that we're going to get out what we need to get out, right? It says, whoever says to this mountain, flip back over to Romans 10 and look at verse 13. Actually, go back up to verse 11, right after the verses we just read. For the Scripture says, what? Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Whoever, verse 13 or 12, for there is no distinction between the Jew or between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Notice, all who what? Call upon Him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who? Whoever. He didn't just say one race. He didn't say one gender. He didn't say one part of the world. He didn't say you have to make so much money. Didn't say you had to have hair on your head. Didn't say you had to have hair of a certain length. He said, whoever. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, do you believe that? You could get almost any Christian, and they would believe that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I mean, you have denominations that make a really big deal about public confession. But you confess the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Now, this is the same thing as what we're talking about in Mark 11. Look over at Mark 11. 23, for assuredly I say to you, what? Whoever. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Notice the parallel. We read over in Romans, it said in verse 9, Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart. That God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So He's giving a specific instance. He's telling us how to be saved. He said, if you believe in your heart, what? That God raised Him from the dead, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So you're believing a specific thing in your heart here. That's to get saved. You confess it with your mouth. You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. You confess it with your mouth. And what happens? You're saved. And that's to whoever. Right? In verse 10 in Romans 8, he said, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Here he's talking about salvation. He's saying it's with your heart that you believe unto righteousness. He's saying you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead and you confess you are saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And then he said, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in this case, you're believing something in your heart. You're believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you're confessing. It says specifically, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So you believe something in your heart. You speak it with your mouth. What are you speaking here? The Lord Jesus, that He is Lord, that God has raised Him from the dead. And then what happens? You're saved. You confess Him as Lord, He becomes your Lord. And in on the inside, not anything you can see on the outside, but the inward man becomes a new creature. The Bible said, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Corinthians 5:21, it says that you have been made then the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You confess, but how'd you get there? You believed in your heart. You didn't jump through a bunch of hoops. You didn't go down through a list and do a bunch of checkoffs to say you did this, you did that, you did this, good works or anything. What did you do? You believed in your heart the truth about Jesus, that God raised Him from the dead, that sent Him to die for our sins. You believed that. You said it with your mouth, and something happened. What happened? You were saved. You believed unto righteousness. Confession was made unto salvation. Now, like I was saying, I don't know, there's not too many Christians that would deny that a whoever, that anyone, if they'll believe Jesus, if they'll believe what God has done through Jesus, that they can be saved. There's not many true Christians. The same way that we get saved is how we take a hold of, how we, that's the word I'm looking for, how we possess anything in this realm. It's by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Now, if it weren't in the Bible, and Jesus didn't say it, and it wasn't in the Bible multiple times, that, in fact, that sounds weird to some people. That sounds like you're making that up. That's a fairy tale. So what you're saying is, and it's made fun of, people got connotations, you know, bad things. They say words that, you know, like blab it, grab it, and name it, claim it, stuff like that. That's ignorance. Because they did the exact same thing when they were born again. Same thing. This is the way God has set the world up, and we live in a natural world. I can touch this chair with my physical hand. And this is material. You wouldn't say this isn't real. It's real, but there is something more real than this that existed before this realm. And it's spirit. And the spirit realm exists. We are spirit. God is spirit. He created the world through words. He said, "Let light be," and light was. We can't see the spirit unless God lets you see into the spirit realm. You can't see it with your physical eyes, but it exists. And the way we possess what the Lord has provided for us through Jesus in this earth is by faith. It is no less real right now just because we can't see it, the spirit realm. It is just as real. And I'm convinced that when Adam and Eve walked the earth, it couldn't tell the difference. It was there when sin had not been in the earth. I mean, the Bible says that they walked with God. Well, you think they couldn't see Him? I mean, it was a different realm before men fell, before they followed Satan. But over time, that's become distant. But it's no less real. It's just God is just as real as He was then. When Jesus walked the earth, He was no more real when He walked the earth than He is right now. They could see Him. He had a physical body. But that realm is real. And things in that realm can be obtained in this realm by faith. You believe. Salvation is one of them. You believe salvation. You believe what Jesus did for you, and you can have it in this realm. It's the same thing with other things that God has promised. Now go back over to Mark 11, 22. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.'" It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever," again, he's using whoever what? says to this mountain. So the same pattern that we were born again, when we believed in our heart and we confessed the Lord Jesus, we believed that God had raised Him from the dead and confessed the Lord Jesus, now He's saying, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "For I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and what? Does not doubt where? In his heart. But believes that those things he," what? "Says, shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says." I'm going to go through that again. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever..." He didn't say just certain people. He said whoever. Whoever what? "Says to this mountain." Could have been a, you know, he's seeing a mountain there, whatever, motioning. But he says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." But he didn't just stop there and say, "Well, whoever says it, it'll be done." That's not the whole equation. He says, "He said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever," whatever. He will have what? Whatever he says. If what? You believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Do you believe that? Don't shake your head because I'm asking you. I'm asking you. Look inside and say, "Do I believe that? Is that true?" Because we just and this isn't the last thing we're going to read, but salvation is a case of this. You're believing something that you can't see. How many people in here were there when Jesus died on the cross? We heard, or we read. You know, in John it says, these things were written so that you may believe. Us. But we have a choice. Right? There are a lot of people that don't. They say that's a story. This whole thing, it's just, you know, it's a patchwork of men's writings, and it's nothing. In every other religion, they're just similar. It's just the same thing. It's men's ideas. Okay. But you choose to believe that. I choose to believe that this is the Word of God. And it is what it says it is. And it was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And that Jesus really did walk the earth as God. I mean, He was God, manifested in the flesh, walked the earth, that He died for my sins, for the sins of the whole world, that He went to the cross, that He was crucified, that they buried Him, and that He rose from the dead, and that He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that He did that for my sin, for your sin, for the sin of the whole world, even those that have not received Him and that will not receive Him. The price has been paid. But, men, I'm using that generically, and women, have to what? They have to believe it. They have to believe it and confess. They have to declare Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. They have to believe that. Otherwise what? Jesus has bought and paid for their salvation. You couldn't say it wasn't done, but they're not going to receive it unless you believe it. And like we read in Romans. Go to Romans real quick again. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no if,
there. There's no but there. It says, if you believe it, you confess it, you will be saved, right? And it says
whoever down the road.
It says, for with the heart one. That means just a person. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So you heard the word that Jesus died for your sins and that you could be saved, and you believed it. You believed unto something. It says that with the mouth confession is made unto something. So you heard the word and you believed it with your heart and you acted on it and said something and you were saved. And this is a case and an example of the way we're supposed to receive anything that God has provided. He has provided salvation. And without salvation, you might as well forget it. If you're not born again, then you know nothing else you get on this earth is going to make any difference when you leave here unless you were born again. But once we're born again, that's not the end. And God wants us, He wants us to enjoy life fully. The curse has been broken for the Christian completely. This world is under a curse. It was cursed because Adam and Eve bowed their knee to Satan. And Satan is the god of this world. And every person that's not born again is under his influence, under his lordship. But when we become born again, it says in Colossians, we've been transferred. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, into the family. We've been adopted into God's family, and there is no curse. There is no power over us. Satan has no power over us anymore. We've been translated into his family. And when we've been, then God wants us to have a life. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're going to go to heaven. But he has a life for us to live on this earth that is free from the curse. Galatians says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from it. So he wants us to walk in newness of life. He wants us to walk with none of the curse. That it means sickness. Sickness, the Bible says death entered the world in Romans. It says in 5, Romans 5, it says death entered the world through sin. And sickness is part of death. Poverty is death. Relationships that are broken is death. Anything that's decaying and dying, that's death. It's the result of the curse. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to live forever. This body is mortal. Thank God. Because we don't want to live in this thing forever. We're going to get a new body. We're going to get a body that can withstand this test of time. That won't break down. Because it's not cursed. It's not going to decay. This body will. However, that doesn't mean it has to be broken down. That doesn't mean that just because we live in a cursed world does not mean we should go through life with sickness and disease and not be able to fulfill what God has called us to do. Because why are we still here? The reason we're still here is because the precious fruit of the earth has not fully come in. Otherwise, let's get out of here and go home. Right? But we have a job to do. And we need a well body to do it. You're not going to do anything good for the Lord if you're sitting at home or laying at home, cooped up, can barely see. You know, you're so out of it. You can't get out of bed. You can't do anything. You're too weak to even talk on the phone. That's not glorifying God. We need a well body. If you're having strife in your home and your relationships are all tattered, you're not going to be effective for God. You're going to be distracted all the time. If you don't have the money to put gas in your car, to come to church, to go help do whatever you're called to do, you are not going to be as effective as you should be. If you're poor, you can't. If you're completely without money, so that all you can do is barely get your needs met, you can't be the blessing that you should be to other people, right? That's all part of the curse, that God has redeemed us from all those things. These things are received by believing, by faith. Now, I didn't say that's all there is to all these things. You can walk in wisdom as the Lord leads you. You should get a job. Don't just sit at home and say, I'm going to confess and believe in my heart and confess that I'm a millionaire. I guarantee you that won't work, because that contradicts other scriptures. You have to take the whole counsel of God. But right on the other hand, this is a principle that we receive. God has so much more probably than any of us is receiving at this point in our lives. We can come up. And part of this is believing what He said in the Word and acting on it and saying in line with what He said in His Word. And absolutely will change our circumstance. Do you believe that? We need to get past this. This world is, especially in the day and age we live in, there is so much information, but not necessarily a lot of wisdom, not necessarily a lot of true knowledge, but there's a lot of information. And there is knowledge in the sense that just knowing more stuff. We know more probably as a people, as a, you know, humanity than we ever have. Yet, at the same time, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of spiritual things in some areas has gotten to where the so-called knowledge of certain areas has caused people mistakenly to start using their head with reasoning to start dismissing certain spiritual things, and that's not an improvement. That is actually taking a step backwards. So, because if we get too natural-minded to where, when I say that, I'm saying only what you can see and feel and touch and taste and hear, and if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't taste it, well then I'm just not going to believe it. Those two are contradictory to begin with, because you don't have to believe it. If I can feel, I don't have to believe this chair is here. If I were to say I don't believe this chair is here, you would look at me and go, okay. Right? If I said, I believe Linda is sitting in this chair, I'd say, well, good for you. That doesn't have, I can see her sitting there. I can see this chair. I can not only see it, I can feel it. Not only that, I can sit in it. So I know this chair's here. I don't have to believe anything. But if we're going to contact God in the spiritual realm, we're going to have to go beyond this, because I can't see God with my natural eyes. I have not seen Him. Maybe you've seen Him, but I haven't. I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't heard an audible voice, Him talk to me. I can't feel Him with my natural hands. But He's real. And there is knowledge of the way the world really works. And God, through His Word, is showing us some of that here. And to believe this and act on it, you have to just take God at His Word. I don't know how many more scriptures we'll get into here, but you see, I don't want to digress too far this evening. The thing I want to emphasize is that we see the Word saying that we should believe something in our heart and speak it out. And we can try to comprehend that with our minds, or we can start acting on it and doing it and taking God at His Word and seeing the results. Because we won't be able to comprehend it with our natural mind. We will have to get to the place where we believe what the Word says and act on it, and we can enjoy the results of it. See, I believe that. I believe that, and I'm going to enjoy it. I could sit there. I'm not a mechanic. And I'm not really, I know what I need to know to get around in my car. But I did take shop, and I did take some things about the internal combustion engine. And generally, I could talk about how an engine works. But you asked me to fix the thing, especially with the modern cars, I'm not going to be able to do it. I can't tell you how every little part of it works, but I can tell you I got in my car, I drove here tonight, and it worked, and I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to go home tonight. And it's going to work for me. And I'm a software engineer, but, I don't, and I can tell you probably how some of this stuff works, like on my phone, down to a certain level. But at some point, when you get down to the physics of it, I've taken classes on quantum physics and stuff, but there's a whole lot. When you actually talk about the electrons flowing in here and how they actually, create this thing now, how they create the actual chips that are in here and produce them, and the facilities that actually are stamping these wafers and actually making this thing work, I don't know how that works. But I use this thing all day. I don't need to know. And if I have to know every little bit of everything in here before I say I'm going to use this, I'm going to go without a phone for a long time. Probably the rest of my life. And there's going to be cooler and newer phones out. And, if I'm going around, well, where's your phone? Well, I don't have one. Well, that's cool. Why not? I want to understand everything before I can use it. Now, I'm not saying you look at the Word, and you need to go and believe it from the Word of God, but don't you know that there is a whole realm of Christianity that dismisses exactly what we're talking about tonight? And they say, no, that can't be. Can't be. Why? Can't be because you can't see it and you can't understand it with your mind. So therefore, I'm going to mock it. Therefore, I'm going to say that can't be. And look at anybody who would believe that. Jesus said it. Amen. And we need to understand that as far as the Word of God, the Word of God's concerned, there are things that we are never going to understand. Do you understand? Can you tell me exactly how the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him shedding His blood, paid for your sin so that in this century we live in, or last century, or whenever you got born again, you could call on His name and your spirit, which you've never seen, that you have to take by faith, was recreated. Let's back up. That God Almighty came to earth as a baby. He came and He was born of a virgin. And He grew up. And He came to realize that He was the Son of God. And He walked this earth as a man. And He went around and declared Himself as God. And He raised people from the dead. And He saw blind eyes open. And eventually He went to the cross for us. And then He was buried. And He rose from the dead. And that if we'll believe on Him, that then our spirit, which is dead, can be recreated and born again and made the righteousness of God in Him. And that forever we're in the family of God. And that the most powerful being in the universe, the power of God that was there creating the world, comes to dwell in us in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that if you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you can be filled, a separate experience from salvation, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that you have the very power of God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. If we can believe all that, can you explain to me how all that is true? How can you have the most powerful being in the universe in you, but in you, and in you, and in you, and in you? And we're all born again, and people say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means your spirit's recreated. Well, explain to me exactly how that happened. But who in here denies that? If we believe that, the people get hung up on the miracles that were done in the Bible and they try to have a natural explanation for why it did or did not happen. I have no problem believing that somebody was raised from the dead. I have no problem believing that that Jesus walked on the water. Well, that's physically impossible. Physically impossible for who? If you have the Holy Spirit that created this whole world, why? That's not even remotely impossible. He created the whole thing. So when we get into the realm of the supernatural and you start believing the supernatural, the outside the natural, then the Word of God comes alive and the Word of God makes sense. Not necessarily to your mind, you'll say, I don't understand, but your spirit will be doing flip-flops. And it's your spirit that you need to be concerned about and need to, that's what has to believe. You need to believe what with your heart. And then you confess what you believe in your heart with your mouth, and then the Bible says mountains will move. It didn't say if. It said if you believe, it will happen. Amen. That we believe the Word of God. That we believe what He said, and then not just sit there until we feel like it, but we act on the Word and we do it. Hallelujah. Now some of us, we've heard these things before. And some of us are waiting to feel like they're true. And I'm here to tell you, you're never going to feel like it's true. We have to take it by faith, the same way you took salvation by faith, the same way you took being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, the same way you take anything that God says by faith, you act on it, you believe it, and if you'll speak it out with your mouth, you will see results. Well, what if I don't? That's doubt. You're saying, how would you know that you didn't? By what you saw. See, you just said, if I didn't see something, then it didn't happen. And that's where we just spent a whole time on doubt. A whole number of messages on doubt. That's where we get unhooked. We start to say, wait, you start out in the spiritual and you end up in the natural because something in the natural tripped you up. We got to get back to just believing and taking God at His Word. Well, I don't know if I understand that. Who cares? I don't understand the Trinity. But I believe it. Amen. Amen.